life under the soil. There is a lot of things that are under the soil that we do not see and never will see, for the most part, if we do not use a magnifying glass or a microscope in order to see the tiny and sometimes unidentifiable items and organisms that are beneath the soil.
Well, yeah, that's correct. And your soil is actually a living, breathing organism, basically. Especially in your backyard. And the soil, what is underneath the soil is made up of layers. So there's the organic upper layer, which is of humus and topsoil. And then there's the underlying layers, the rocky layers. So that's like subsoil, regolith, and bedrock. So that's, and then once you go beyond that, there's more. But this is kind of probably as far as you could dig deep down within reason.
And based on the conditions of the soil in your garden or your region, it will dictate how thick those horizontal layers are that are beneath the soil. So that would determine whether or not you have to add more material in order to get a base for growing plants in your garden, as we're talking about it today. There are more microorganisms in a teaspoon of soil, of healthy soil, that is, then there are people on the earth, millions and millions of species and billions of organisms in one teaspoon of soil.
That's a lot.
So you can tell how microscopic and how beneficial these items are for the life of everything else that we establish in the world.
Right, and a lot of the life is just like extremely tiny microorganisms. So it's anything from small little cell-sized microorganisms to larger ones to things like worms, fungus. Fungus is something that helps with the decomposition process, and then other little like the good nematodes that we talked about a few weeks ago. So there's a lot of different things.
Healthy soil is a living organism. Soil is sand, silt, clay, air, water, minerals, organic matter, and crawling with earthworms, moles, grubs, caterpillars,
centipedes.
Millipedes,
slugs, all sorts of things.
Yes.
So basically like stuff you can see. Potato bugs or
mushrooms are good for the soil. An average soil sample is 45% minerals, 25% water, 25% air, and 5% organic matter. That organic matter is important for the life of the plants in which we are trying to grow. In the wild, in nature, the forest drops the leaves, which falls to the forest floor, and all of these creepy, crawly microorganisms, all these tiny things, break down that material to create organic matter to feed the life of the forest, the trees, and all of the plants that live there.
So let's talk about worms for a second.
All right.
Worms are vital to your soil life.
They're the most visible items.
Well, right.
And most recognizable item in soil.
Right. And they are very vital, though, to your soil life. If you want to have a nice, healthy soil.
You want to have something grow.
To breathe organically, feed your plants.
Yeah.
So worms are amazing because they can go from your topsoil down to 8 feet below, and then they circle those nutrients around. They also won't overpopulate themselves, so if you feel like you have too many worms in your garden, you do not. And that's not a problem. Anyway, if you have a lot of worms, you definitely want a lot of worms. What are some ways we can attract worms to our garden?
We can add organic matter, leaves, shredded leaves, regular leaves, compost, coffee grounds, chemical-free, seed-free grass clippings. And we don't necessarily, and it's not recommended, to till that material in. What we can do is we can layer it on top and allow nature and those microorganisms to begin to break it down, and the worms will come to the surface and feed on that material and take it beneath the soil level.
Right. So that's exactly it. One earthworm will produce up to one-third pound of waste or of worm castings or
manure.
Worm poop, worm manure per year. So just one tiny little worm is going to create one-third of its own waste, and that is very vital to your garden.
It is important that we keep healthy soil, and there's a couple of ways in which we can do that. and allow the soil to continue to produce for us, or in a nature native setting. One, reduce tillage of the soil. This exposes the soil to the atmosphere, also disrupts a lot of the soil microbial life, the tunnels and the pathways in which these insects and microscopical organisms have created. And it's just like taking your house, shaking it all up, flipping it upside down and going, okay, now live there. That's essentially what is occurring when we're disrupting the soil. Yes, there is some soil disturbance which has to be performed at certain times of the year or over a period of time if we want to plant root crops or plant a plant. We have to dig up a certain amount of soil in order to get that plant in the ground. But overall tillage of the soil is we want to do it minimally. And if we do it as we do in our garden, we use a garden fork, so we're not removing the roots of the weeds and also aerating the soil to a certain degree, but we're not pulverizing the soil to a powder like a mechanized machine would, and then the whole system has to restart itself or reboot itself in order to develop the healthiness in which the soil had prior to you going in there with that tiller and digging it all up. We can increase the soil and health by increasing organic matter. We've talked about what we can do to add organic matter to the soil. We can use cover crops in areas which nothing is growing in our garden that will help hold on to the soil, help feed the soil to a certain degree, but also reduce erosion from the area in which is being vacant for the time being. Or if you have a bare spot in the yard, we want to plant grasses there to reduce the erosion.
I think that's important, especially with the amount of rain we've had this past year. A lot of those nutrients, if you have a bare spot, it's going to get washed away quickly.
And erosion happens additionally with air, too. The big dust bowl, things dry, the wind catches that soil, that topsoil, and removes it. So that's another way in which we can help create and hold on to the healthy soil that we are trying to grow in or just want to have. Reduce pesticides and use them sparingly if need be, but the pesticides hurt the beneficial organisms in the soil. That's why we look for and use products such as BioSafe, which is an organic weed killer, not something that has glyphosate in it, in order to reduce the amount of issues that we have with the soil and the soil web.
Another good thing to keep in mind is, so rotate crops, move your crops around.
To a degree.
To a degree.
Now, in the big ag industry, yeah, they do that. But for our backyard gardens, we don't necessarily have to do that, asterisk here, if we are including new organic matter into that particular garden bed area or raised grow bed or container. Because if you take an 8-foot by 4-foot raised bed that's 32 square feet and you introduce a 20% new material, you top that bed off, you're adding 20% new compost, whether you buy it or you've made it, you're reintroducing and revitalizing that soil. You don't have to mix it in. We just layer it on top, and the water and the insects and the microbial life will drag it into the base of that bed. So you could replant tomatoes in that bed multiple years over and over again because you're continually topping off that raised bed with new soil every year. So you don't necessarily on a small scale need to rotate as heavily or at all as we would on a large agricultural scale.
Right. So that's very important to know. But also, I think if you have issues with pests in certain areas, maybe you want to move that crop the next year, things like that. Not necessarily in this case for the benefit of the soil, but it makes sense for the overall health of your garden at times.
Absolutely. We need to identify problems and reduce those issues when we see them by rotation of crops. Also, adding nutrients, being careful how we fertilize our plants and don't over-fertilize. Use the recommended rate on the back of the package. That's why it's there. But there's a lot of things under the soil that we do not see. And
I think that's the important part is to consider, is that when you spray your plants with something that's non-organic, you're not just necessarily spraying that plant. That's going to get into the soil. That's going to get into the waterway. That's going to – your soil is a living organism, and that's important to keep in the back of your mind.
And if you go online and search life under the soil, you will find many different images of things that you and I, we did not know existed, but it all ties into the overall health and premise of why plants grow, is because those organisms break down material in order for the plants to uptake, for us to eat the plants in which we are growing, or people are growing for us. So that's just some of the kind of very, very small deal when it comes to what's under the soil. It's kind of difficult to describe some of the items in which you may see in the soil.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.